awesome or what? Happy Easter.
Happy Easter!
Always good to be together. I have no idea why I put a pair of slacks on. I'm trying to figure it out myself. I'm tucked in and I feel like I've got to go to work now. What is this all about? And great job, guys. Thank you. You'd have to be involved to understand the amount of work that's put into this, but we applaud you. We're grateful. It is Easter today, if you didn't know, and we're here. And it's arguably the best day of the year. I like to think that every day is Easter and every Sunday, but this is it. And I've been in the hospital a lot lately. Not me, but my best friend, who's a pastor at Lameda, who is
at Bay City's Lameda campus today, giving the message, which is just exciting. He had rods put in his back like 3 weeks ago, and he's doing okay. He's got a walker, and I'm thinking, I'm never coming up here in a walker, because you will never. But he's got courage. He's got more than me. And my son broke his hip in the marathon 3-4 weeks ago, and he went for 2 weeks. The x-ray didn't pick it up, and so he kept living, and it just kept hurting more and more, and the meds weren't helping from what he told me, and I just thought he's a baby. Well, he went back to the doctor 2 weeks later and got another x-ray, and the guy goes, what are you doing here? You need to get to the emergency room. Nobody gets in my office with a broken hip. So he had 3 titanium screws put in a week and a half ago.
Oh my God.
So I've been in the hospital lately, and he's going to be fine. You know, he's had enough mercy. He's had 3 weeks of it. That's enough. broken hip or not, you know. But things aren't always as reported at the hospital. You may know that. But in the hospital charts, one person read, the patient refused an autopsy. refused an autopsy. Another chart said, note, patient recovering from forehead cut, patient became very angry when given an enema by mistake. By mistake. And way more than you wanted to hear on Easter, I know. But we're not stopping. We're not stopping. Patient has chest pain if she lies on her left side for over a year. Okay, that's not, I get that. On the second day, the knee was better. And on the third day, it just disappeared. It just was gone. It was gone. The patient has been depressed since she began seeing me in 1993. You know, these are just mistakes. They're human mistakes. She is numb from her toes down all the way. All the way. All the way. While in ER, she was examined, x-rated, and sent home. Patient was alert and unresponsive. Just mistakes. I saw your patient today who is still under our car for physical therapy, but we're getting them well. The lab test indicated abnormal lover function. I want some of that. I want some of that. Patient has, last one, 2 teenage children, but no other abnormalities. No other abnormalities. You know, it is always, always good to laugh together. Every chance we get that a smile gets on our face for whatever reason, it's just a good thing. And it's also wonderful to talk about things that matter. And that's what we do in this place. We talk about things that make a difference. We sing about them. We show you videos about them. I'm sitting there back there watching the message, the short message I'm going to give you today. And it's saying the same thing. And I'm saying, should I bother them or should I just send them out to the Krispy Kremes? What should I do? But today's theme, Jesus, the gateway to life. He's it. And there's nothing else that can take his place. He is the one who can make our life better than you ever can. Here and certainly later. He's the one who can protect us from the unknown that we don't even know about. He's the one who can take us from this life to the next. And there's tons of promises along the way that you can lock into and you can go, wait a minute. These promises are overwhelming and electrifying. And it's about me. And he has done and will do the work for me and you to get to the other side. And we're going to see that today. I hope, with clarity, as we already have. Let's pray as we move through our service. Lord, thank you that we can be in this place today, this Easter 2023. COVID's behind us. We're glad for that. We look forward to a year where we can honor you in this place, collectively and individually. Lord, take hold of our hearts. Let us see how beautiful it is to be in relationship with you this day. Let us see clearly what you've done for us already, and what you offer to every man, woman, and child on this planet. And may you touch our hearts today, as you already have, but just keep moving inside of us. Jesus, we welcome you into this room, into our service, into our families, into our hearts, our minds, our lives. Help us to see how wonderful you are. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, Jesus being the gateway to life, and when we say that, well, what does gateway mean? If you look it up on Google or on Microsoft Word, it says, well, gateway means doorway or entrance or entryway or opening, access, the way in. So when we say Jesus is the gateway to life, eternal life, God's kind of life that never ends, Jesus is just that. Now you, there may be some of you here that don't believe that yet, but just hear me. The possibility that Jesus is that way for you and for me to enter heaven. Just sit back and listen to the possibilities for you. I'm going to, as clearly as my simple C student mind can do, lay out what he's really already done for you and me and offers to us. Jesus is this gateway to life, God's kind of life that never ends. So, you ready? Okay, if you're a note taker, enjoy. If not, just listen and enjoy as well. Number one, what Jesus did for us, pretty quick. Number one, I want to get you back to the donuts. Jesus took our pain and suffering. He took our pain and suffering. The story of Jesus is laid out in the Old Testament, sort of foretelling who the Messiah would be to the Jewish nation. In Isaiah 53, it speaks about Jesus and his impact. We're just going to look at a few verses today. In verse 4, it says, surely he, speaking of the coming Messiah, is who's being referred to here. Jesus, as we know him to be the Messiah, as we look back, but they were looking forward. He took up, and the idea is he took something up on himself. We aren't burdened with this. He burdens himself with it. He took up our, mine and yours, our pain. And you know, pain isn't cool. It just isn't. Pain gets our attention. And what he's referring to when he says pain is sickness or burdens that produce pain. Pain of the mind, which there's a lot out and about, and that speaks of grief-related. And when somebody's going through grief, I just tell them, I told a gal I buried her husband a few weeks back, I said, take your time. Don't be in a rush. Let the waves of grief hit you. It hits all of us differently, and we're all going to face it. Take it slow. Be kind to you. Don't be in a rush to move it aside. When someone near and dear to you dies, there will always be a blank spot in your life. It'll always make you long to be with them again. That we're humans. Unless you're some kind of psychopath and you're just a weirdo. But new people don't know what to do with me when I do that. You know? But you do. You just laugh. You know, there's Jim. There's just struggles of life that produce pain. It can be momentary. It can be long-lasting. But things that hurt. Things that we don't want to tell other people about because we don't want to look like a baby. But it hurts. Doggone it. And he goes on. He took up our pain and bore. The idea of bore is he carries, like a mule would carry a pack if we were going camping. And bore our, mine and yours, our suffering. And this has the idea, this goes beyond pain that we all know, either emotionally, physically, whatever. This is about sorrows that get deep inside of us. He submitted and substituted himself in our place. And we're going to work through this a little bit during the message. But the idea is that he put himself in the place of our suffering so that we didn't have to suffer in that way, especially with heaven in mind. He paid a price, as we'll lay out during the message. And he goes on here, yet, and this is ironic what he's about to say. Some of you may or may not understand it, but he says, yet, we, and he's speaking of the Jews of the day and the Jews of Jesus' day as well, we considered him, Jesus, the Messiah, unknown to them. We see him. You hear about him for who he is. We sing about him. But he says, we considered him punished by God. Why would God let his son suffer like that? That didn't work in their brain. You see, they didn't want the plan God wanted for mankind. They wanted something different. They wanted a Messiah that would come and conquer oppressive Rome. They wanted life their way. And so do you, and so do I. And this is one of the things that Jesus will unlock if you let him. Life doesn't have to be your way to be satisfied and be content. That is part of the secret of knowing Jesus. You can be content and satisfied, and you don't get your way. Israel was demanding here. This is how they looked at it. They considered him punished by God, stricken by him, literally wounded by his own dad, which they didn't understand. They didn't get the relationship. Stricken by him, punished, if you will, and afflicted, that God was judging him. That's their picture of the Messiah when he came. They didn't get what Jesus was doing, what Jesus was accomplishing on that cross. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. What he was really up to is he was afflicted for us. And when you take the picture that the Jews had of that day, and even many today, they won't talk about Jesus. Jesus is the gateway to eternal life. You won't get there without him. Hebrews 13:12 in your notes says this, and so Jesus also suffered outside the city gates, Golgotha, the skull, that place where he was crucified. Why did Jesus get crucified? To make the people holy that would walk with him and believe in him. And the idea here is you become right with God where before you were wrong with God. God is perfect, and he can only accept perfection. Jesus makes us holy. We don't make ourselves holy. Good luck with that, or trying to. You can't do it. How do you do it? How do you accomplish it? Well, through his blood, his death, his pain. He gave his life so that you can be holy before God. That's the picture of the gospel. So what did Jesus do for us? Number one, he took our pain and suffering. Number two, Jesus was savaged for our sin condition. Now, some people struggle with this idea of sin, but it's just true, and you prove it out regularly, even to yourself. Just look in the mirror or ask your wife or husband if you ever sin, and the answer will be clear. Ask your grown children. Let me ask you this. Do your grown adult children sin? Well, that's clear. Okay, yeah, I know it. Same with you. He says, and so Jesus also suffered out through his own... Oh, sorry, I went back to that verse because it was... But he was savaged. I've never said that word. I've been doing this for 40 years, and it just gripped me. That's what happened to the one I love. He was savaged. There's a reason why he died for us. And here it is, right here. This is Easter. He did this all for you and for me. Check it out. Verse 5 goes on. But he was pierced. Now, some of you have ear piercings and some other things. We won't go into the detail of them. But, you know, I don't want that. I mean, I could handle it, but I'm not going to. Although, maybe if I did get an earring and 3 or 4 tattoos, we'd have younger people here. I've thought about it. I'm not anti anything. You go ahead. I'm not getting my nose pierced. But we're going to move on from that. He was pierced, or wounded is the idea. And pierced, obviously, his hands and his feet were pierced by a nail. And the idea is really beyond piercing to torment. That's where the word savage comes from to me, that he was savaged. He was tormented for the cause of which he had to suffer, not his own actions, but us. This is the why of the crucifixion. Mine and yours, look at the verse, are transgressions. What's that? Well, it's sin. It's wrongdoing. It's when you fail, make mistakes, bad behavior, offenses, whatever it might be. You do things that are anti what God would want you to do. And We do plenty of those. You have, and you will. You need forgiveness before God. He goes on. He was crushed, and the idea of crushed is bruised. That's what happens when there's crushing going on, inward and outward suffering for our, mine and yours, inequities. Inequities would be violations or vices that you build in your life over the course of time, live in a real life. Evil, wickedness, that if you didn't do it, you probably thought about it. And it's in all of us, and we know it. I'm not going to try to convince you on Easter. I think you know that. This is all about forgiveness, and this is what Jesus brings to us. He was savaged for our sin condition so we could experience forgiveness. Only the Messiah, Jesus, can give an offer. I can't offer you forgiveness for that stuff. I can't get rid of your guilt for past wrongs. I can't do it, especially in a lasting way. Jesus can. In Psalm 32:1, he says, blessed, and blessed is the idea of good standing with God, that he's pouring into your life on some level in beautiful, positive ways. Blessed is the one, each one individually, whose transgressions, sin and wrongdoing, past failures, are forgiven. Therefore, your conscience can be clear. That was dealt with. That was paid for. That was cared for. God forgave me. I might as well forgive myself and move on with life. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. They're cared for. They're paid for. Restitution has been made for each one of those things that you and I have done wrong. This is the Jesus that I want you to love and know. This is what he does. This is Easter. This is mind-blowing to me. Jesus is the one who brings us about. And he's the only one that can. He's the only one that can take away guilt and shame and fill that gap of hopelessness that can get in our brain and inside our heart where we go, what's wrong? Wait, my life is good. The bills are paid. I even have some money in the bank. I may have retirement. And I'm getting old, but I still look pretty good. Yet, there can be vacancy in our brain and heart. In the middle of the night, you wake up and you go, am I okay? What's going on with me? Why do I feel this way? Why is there blank stuff inside of me? Oh, am I scaring you? Like I was in your house yesterday? No, I'm just kidding. Romans 4:7, Paul says the same thing. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, wiped away and paid for. Number three. So Jesus took our pain and suffering. He was savaged for our sin condition. And number three, he was punished for us to have peace. The punishment that he faced, the discomfort that he faced, brought about something for me and you. What Jesus did for you and me produced some things. Here it is, verse 5. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment, or the word even could be chastisement, because he was his son and he was separated from him, and it didn't make sense for their relationship, but it did in paying a price for us. God had to turn his back on his own son so that we could be forgiven. But he carried this for us, this punishment, if you want to use that, this imprisonment. And what did it do? That, all connected together, brought us peace. Where did the peace come from? It was on him. Without him, you don't have the peace you ought to have. This is why I say he's the gateway to life, not just eternal life in heaven, but life here on earth that can be satisfying and be content even when you don't get your own way, which is often. I never want to rain on anybody's dreams or dance on them, but all your dreams aren't going to come true except in Jesus. He's the one that will take care of you. Messiah, or Jesus, as we know him to be. This is the heart of him. Listen to this in Luke chapter 19, 41. As he, Jesus, approached Jerusalem. So he's coming into his last week. He knows what's going on. He knows what's coming. He's already told his guys over and over. He's looking over it for his triumphal entry, where they celebrated him with palm branches. They went to dinner alone in an upper room, you know all that stuff. And he saw the city, and he wept over it. And this is his heart. This is who he is. Everybody in this room and sitting outside and that will hear this message anywhere, Jesus weeps for you to know him, to trust him. The inside of him cries out for you to understand him and to get his promises and get close to him and get in relationship with him. He wept over it. And he said, he makes this amazing statement. He says, if you, even you, children of Israel, the Jews of the day, had only known the ideas understood on this day, what would bring you peace? I ask you today, do you know what will bring you peace? Are you willing to at least try to let Jesus bring you peace and not keep trying to churn it out yourself? Get one more thing, get a little bit more money, a little bit more of this, get the right person in your life, and somehow I'm going to have this peace that I really long for and want. So he says, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. You know, you're listening to me, every one of you. I can see it in the back row. Dillenbergs are back there, represented, my friends. I know at least 2/3 of you. And you're all listening to me right now. Every one of you. But you know what? You're leaving. 10 minutes, you're out of here. Some of us men are going home to watch the Masters, and I can't wait. I love Jesus more than the Masters, but I love watching that tournament. There's lots of things we love. Make a decision for him while you can. You can grow cold to God, to the gospel, to the Jesus message, to Easter. Don't do it. So Jesus took our pain and suffering. He was savaged for our sin condition. He was punished for us to have peace. And number four and last today, Jesus, his trauma brought healing to us. His trauma, that savagery as we talked about. Verse 5 goes on. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him and by his wounds. So the trauma. A reference to him being scourged and beaten and treated inappropriately and thorns and nails and hammers and dropping the cross in the ground. You've seen the Passion. It's awful. And he says, by his wounds we are healed, made well. And he's talking about spiritual health. We're made right before God. We get to be children of God from that point on. You see, I'm headed to heaven now. I'm not waiting until I die. Jesus entered my life in 1977. And that whole time, I'm already headed to heaven. I'm trying to grab some other people along the way, and a few of you have joined me. Thank you. Maybe there's a couple more in this room that need to join me. Just a couple. Just one more guy, one more gal. Let it be you if you don't know him. Find him. Get him. In 1 Peter 2:24 in your notes, he himself, and the idea here, he's emphasizing me. I'm doing this. That's what Peter's referring to. He chose this. He did it voluntarily. All that we're talking about. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. He suffered the penalty for sin for us. This is Easter. This is Easter. In Matthew on the screen, chapter 1, when he was a baby coming into this world, the angel said, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Before he was ever born, this was his purpose. And it's exactly what he did and what he'll do for you today if you'll trust him. Back to 1 Peter 2:24. Why all this? Why? Why? It's a fair question. Look at it. So that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. Part of what happens when you believe, you get changed. God does it. you get changed, and you now have the capacity to say no to the wrong things. Before, you really, really didn't. You're just living life, doing your best maybe, but you didn't have a governor inside of you. The Bible says when you believe, the Holy Spirit comes, invades your life. It's a little spooky if you think about it. I don't want to scare you away from believing. But something happens to you, and you get guilty when you do wrong things. And I love guilt. I absolutely love guilt because it shows me you're a Christian. If you can do anything you want and get away with it and you don't have any guilt, you're just not saved. You need Jesus. But you guilty people, I love you. It just shows me you're going with me. He goes on to say, was that too direct? I'm sorry if you're new. By his wounds, again, his wounds that were horrible, scourging with a whip, beating him in the face, nailing him, sword in his side, were part of the execution process. By his wounds, you've been healed. Again, this healing is a spiritual healing, not a physical one. One day we're going to experience heaven. No more pain, no more tears, no more death, no more suffering, ever. Everything will be different. All this, and not just about his death as Easter, and you know that, but in the resurrection from the dead. And he did it first. Check it out on the back page, Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, Saturday at dawn on the first day of the week, Sunday morning, which we're here Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. It's interesting that women went first. Take it to the bank, ladies. You win. Okay. Verse 2. You guys are scared in a locked room, hiding out, ready to go back to their old life because that's all we know. Okay, verse 2. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now, it's just... You know, don't tell me God's not cool. Because it's his angel. He told him what to do. And so, you know, angel just went, and the rock pulled back that would have taken multiple men, maybe horses to cover. And that's cool. But he's sitting on top of it. Like, na-na-na-na-na-na. I mean, this angel, I want to meet him. We're going to have lunch. We're going to talk in heaven. He's just sitting there. Is his legs crossed? Is he holding his chin? What's he doing? Just, is he singing? I don't know. But I just love this picture of him. He sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, so he was extraordinary, and his clothes were white as snow. That's pretty cool. The guards were so afraid of him. I love this part. So afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. They just hit the ground. Angel's cool. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, because they were afraid too. That's what we all are. For I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He knew what was going on. And he's not here, the angel announced to these two gals. He has risen, just as he said. Now think about that. He had told his men and people over and over again that he would be killed and that he would come back to life. That's the Jesus you want to know. Come and see the place where he lay. This week I learned something. We'll close with this. I learned something new, which isn't a surprise for me. I'm never the smartest guy in the room unless I'm alone. It's just the way it is, you know. It's just life. Thank you, Jesus, for that one. But it's about helicopters. I mean, we live with Robinson Helicopters. Heck, some of you might work there. And, you know, you could tell Robinson Helicopter gets out like at 3 or 3:15 or 3:30 if you try to go down Pacific Coast Highway. Those employees know how to get to the freeway. It's just fascinating at that time of day if you live on that side of the South Bay. But there's a thing called a Jesus nut. And some of you know about this, I'm sure. Not most of you, I wouldn't think. But it's linked to helicopters. And it's a slang term. I've got a picture up here to show you what it is. So you got the rotor. You know, helicopters are not meant to fly. It's all based on power and wind and, you know, all that stuff. But the Jesus nut, I didn't name this, they named it. It's right at the top, right? And they cranked this sucker down. I saw the biggest torque wrench I was going to show you, but I thought, you don't want to bother with that. But it's a slang term for the main rotor rotating nut that's up top. And if the Jesus nut is to fail in flight, that top nut, the helicopter detaches from the rotor, and the only thing left for the crew to do is pray to Jesus. So thus it's the Jesus nut, all right? They know their life is in the hands of the Jesus nut. It's the way it is. The term Jesus nut, I've got a helicopter to throw up there now. They believe may have been coined by American soldiers in Vietnam. Vietnam War was the first war to feature large numbers of soldiers flying in helicopters. If you ever talk to a Navy SEAL, the most dangerous thing that a Navy SEAL does is fly in a helicopter. Ask them if you ever meet one. What's the most dangerous thing you do? It's just helicopter. Because they aren't meant to fly, especially without the Jesus nut, right? The nut or pin must be checked before every flight, even though real examples of the Jesus nut or pin failing are very, very rare. In the year 2000, the Jesus nut of a Bell 206B was removed to be repaired and was not restored and checked prior to a test flight. The helicopter crashed within 10 minutes of takeoff, killing the two occupants. They're dead because they didn't have the Jesus nut. Nobody knew. It was an accident. If the Jesus nut isn't used or relied on, the only thing left for the crew to do would be to pray to Jesus, because they're in big trouble. Now, I want to tell you, as clearly as I know how and with kindness, if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're in big, big trouble one day. And I don't want you to be in trouble. I want you to know that you know Jesus and that you've asked him to come into your life and that the promises that he has made applies to you and your life and then your future when you die. And probably 20% of you in this room that are over 65, if I live long enough, I'm going to bury you. And I may just take your casket and put a Jesus nut right on top of it. Screw it right in, man. Say, I know this guy. He was a Jesus nut, right? Please. That was free. That was Jesus, baby. I didn't plan that sucker. Listen to me, though. Before the sun goes down on this Easter, you get on your knees by your bed. And you say, Jesus, I want you to be in my life. I want to know that I know you, so I'm safe. Now, some people ask, why don't you pray right now and ask people to believe in Jesus right now? Lots of pastors do. Most of them do. I'm never doing it. I don't want you to ever think that you're going to heaven because you prayed with me. You have to ask Jesus into your life. That's not wrong for a guy to pray. It's just not wrong. It's like it's not wrong for a church to take an offering, but we're just not going to do it. Sorry. But there is a black box back there that says offering. But we got to go. Thank you for being in our place, each and every one of you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can be together, that we can look to you for leadership, for direction, that we can have our lives changed by you if we just follow you, trust you, embrace you, believe in you, receive you into our life. And I just pray that for every man, woman, and child in this room, that they may have the confidence this day to make sure they've made peace with you. Hearing what you've done and asking in their life for you to come into their life. Make it happen. Thank you, Lord, for giving us times like this. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful family day, folks.